Hi, this is Warren Hunt with another episode of the Guitar Podcast. Thanks for tuning in again. This is episode number 14. To those of you new to the Guitar Podcast, I want you to know that what I talk about here is of my opinion and from my experience with guitars, amps, effects, and so on. And please chime in with comments and questions to my email at info@theguitarpodcast.net. Today we're going to cover a few different things. I'm going to continue on from about teaching, and kind of the flip side of this is looking for a teacher. And you know, last week I talked about looking for a teacher that truly had a heart for teaching. That was the way I would approach teaching is to give as much as I could to try to help you along, help a student along. Now, I would advise anybody who's looking for a teacher to look for that, to talk to different teachers, and you know, don't be afraid to just jump in and start taking lessons from a teacher, from a guitar instructor, and just seeing how it goes. Give the teacher a few months or a few weeks. Actually, give them a few weeks, and if they don't quite pan out, don't be afraid to move on to somebody else. I would have someone waiting in the wing that you're interested in moving on to. Then again, even if you're taking lessons from somebody and you really love what's going on, you're learning a lot, you're kind of building a friendship somewhat, you know, with the teacher, keep that up. But always keep on the horizon knowing, hey, there'll be a time when I need to get a different teacher. Because, I mean, no matter how good the teacher is, there's somebody else that you're going to learn something just a little twist that's different. That, you know, I kind of made a mistake whenever I was in high school. I had a few different teachers, and I kind of subscribed to that whole thing about bouncing around from teacher to teacher, and it kind of was forced upon me sometimes because either a teacher quit or, you know, the schedule just didn't work out for me. And, you know, I'd take time off from taking lessons and go back, and if it didn't work out with the one teacher, I'd learn from another. And a good friend of mine had a great teacher. I mean, it was like within just a few months after my friend started taking lessons from this guy, he was like the best guitar player I personally knew. I mean, he was doing things my teachers couldn't do. And I was just amazed, and I really should have gone and taken lessons from his teacher, but I didn't. And because what I'm getting at is, up until that time, I was the best guitar player in like our school, to my knowledge, unless somebody was hiding around, you know, playing and going, yeah, Lauren thinks he's awesome, but you know, yeah, I've got him, you know. But once my friend showed me what he was learning, he kind of had me set as to get past me. I was kind of the rabbit, I guess you'd say. He was chasing the rabbit. Well, he caught me really quickly after taking lessons from this new guy, and I've been playing catch up ever since. Anyway, but you know, it goes along with, don't be afraid to jump to another teacher. And don't be afraid to go back to an old teacher that you had before, that you really, you know, you were happy with before. And just, you know, everybody, it, you know, you can't say, well, I was taking lessons from Brian, but I've been taking lessons from George or Joe here for a while, and it's been a year since I've had lessons with Brian, but I don't want to go back to him because he'll be just the same. You never know. Because if your teacher is truly a student of guitar and music, they'll be changing too. And they'll be learning things that are new, and they can always help you along. Something else I would say is, don't be afraid to learn new styles of music from different teachers who might not play the kind of music that you're necessarily completely interested in, but, you know, like your number one thing. Say, when I was in school, I liked... When I was taking lessons a lot, I liked, you know, metal, hard rock. But then again, I liked some hippie music, some late 60s music. And I liked Simon and Garfunkel and the Mamas and the Papas and stuff like that. It's really flower power, you know, really hippie music. But then again, I'm playing Metallica, Megadeth, and Slayer, and all kinds of crazy stuff from back in the 80s. Anyway, one of the teachers I went to, he was definitely in the mold of a 70s guitar player. He wasn't really into the hippie stuff necessarily, and he wasn't he certainly wasn't a metal guitarist. But he was the first guy to really work with double stops with me. And he showed me all kinds of double stops. And I was like, I don't know what this is all about. Why, you know? And I didn't use those at all then. But boy, I tell you, as soon as I started playing a little more blues and southern rock and country, all that stuff Ruben was showing me back then just exploded in my head. And I was like, oh, wow. And nowadays, I'll spend time just studying double stops all over the neck, trying to find these different chords and melodies you can do with double stops. It's just really cool. But there's an example right there where he wasn't necessarily up my alley, but I you know, down the road, I was able to use something that I learned from him. Also, he was the first guy who really showed me Stairway to Heaven the right way. Wrote it out and everything. It was really neat. Something else I did whenever I was trying to build up my skills as a guitar player was I took classical guitar lessons, and I, you know, because Randy Rhoads took classical guitar lessons, I should do that too, right? Not knowing really anything about classical guitar or anything, or Baroque or flamenco guitar, you know, he showed me how he could pick with his four fingers and his thumb on his right hand faster than I could pick with a flat pick. And I was just amazed. I couldn't believe it. And he showed me some cool stuff with flamenco guitar and a little Baroque and little some exercises here and there. He was an amazing guitar player. And he not that I play classical guitar now or anything, but if I pick up an acoustic song, whether it's country or a little bluegrass or whatever, or when Eric Clapton was doing the Unplugged stuff, it just made it super easy for me to learn the things he was doing, learn those songs that I was interested in there. But another thing was, when I was taking those classical lessons, the teacher started teaching me jazz. And I'm going, I didn't come here for jazz. And he brought out Giant Steps and Song for My Father and Record of May and things like that. And I was playing these chord progressions, and he was saying, yeah, at this part, you're playing in the key of C. Now you're playing in the key of A minor. Now you're playing in C. Now you're playing in B flat. Now you're playing in G sharp. Now you're playing in F sharp. Now you play F. And just on this chord, you play in E minor. And then we started all over again. And I'm going, what? But, I couldn't think that fast, and my fingers certainly couldn't do what was needed. You know, I was learning some things about music theory, and that I wasn't quite as good as I thought I was, and how good of a guitar player that guy really was. And I did learn a lot from him. And we'd go back and forth. I'd play the rhythm, he would play the lead, or he would play the rhythm, and I would play the lead. And my leads were always the same. I was just going through a scale, and it sounded really academic, very novice, and I could. It was humbling because I thought I was really good, and I was nothing compared to this guy, especially on the jazz stuff. And when I'd play the rhythm, and I'd just watch him play the lead on that. It was amazing, because he was making cool melodies and cool licks and just seamlessly moving into other keys, and he just didn't even know. It was great. So even if, I mean, say if you're on that, if you're a guitar player and you're on that edge of, hey, I can play, I bought this new CD, I figured out all the songs on there, switch up your genre. Find a new teacher, find a new genre, play classical, play jazz, go find a really good jazz teacher. I mean, it may not be your bag, but do it for a couple months. It'll make you better in the long run. Even in the short term, it'll make you think. I won't begin to say that I'm a jazz guitarist. There's no way, not in my wildest dreams could I couldn't do that. That big band stuff for Brian Setzer, that's really cool, and I dig listening to it. And occasionally I'll try to pick up a lick or two or something that he does. But man, just to sit down and learn all that, it's way out of my league, I think. Anyway, but I recommend anybody to explore that. Explore the Brian Setzer stuff or just jazz classics or play John Coltrane jazz tunes on your guitar. You know, expand your horizons as a guitar player when you get to that point. All right, so if you have any questions or anything about, you want me to expand upon looking for a guitar teacher, I would say look for one in the mold of the way I was presenting how I would teach last week. You know, a guitar teacher that really wants to invest their time in you and give you everything that you need to become a good guitar player or at least enjoy the instrument. And I've always said when I was first started teaching to now, I think everybody can learn how to play guitar. Not everybody's going to be, you know, a Steve Ray Vaughan or Eric Clapton or anything. But, I mean, I'm certainly not, but I love playing guitar. I love guitars. It's really a passion of mine. But, you know, my focus as a guitar teacher was to get a student to the proficiency where they could enjoy the guitar and say, hey, look, you know, I can play this song. I can enjoy it and have a good time, play for my family or friends or whatever. Or, hey, they're moving along fairly well. They can start playing songs all the way through and maybe tougher songs, and or they're strumming and singing. Hey, you know, your goal may be to play campfire songs. Strum, you know, open chords or use a capo or whatever to move chords around and sing with fake books. That's entirely up to you. You know, I grew up in the 80s when everybody was supposed to be, you know, you pick up the guitar and your goal was to be the next Eddie Van Halen or Yngwie Malmsteen or something like that. And which was really fairly unrealistic, especially a guy with average size hands like me. But really, I guess that goal helped me out because I got fairly decent and I can play a lot of different styles of music. Having that lofty of a goal certainly didn't make it there, you know. But yeah, you know, don't be afraid to set your sights high. But I'd say first and foremost in learning to play guitar and working with the teacher is to be sure that you're having fun, that you're enjoying it. If you're not, don't be afraid to move on to a different teacher. You know, give your teacher a chance. But you know, if it gets to a point where you're just not moving along, you're not enjoying it, or the worst, when you go in there and you sit for 25 minutes and the guy sits there and shreds the whole time and you learn nothing. You're just watching him, you know, show you what you can't do on a guitar. Yeah, fire that guy now. Don't put up with that. Find a real teacher who will show you what you need to learn. And if you're that teacher, man, get over yourself. On that note, I want to read a quote from last month's Guitar Player magazine. It's it's an excerpt from Steve Lukather's Session Stories, and I just love this quote. I'm just pulling this out of there because of the shredder mentality that I grew up with, you know, people all around my hometown, and then, you know, playing, wanting to play fast and show how awesome they were. And then when I was working in a music store, everybody come in and they put on a concert and everything, and it's just like cool or whatever. Steve's talking about, you know, if you're a shredder or whatever, if you mean you can play really fast and it's really awesome, that's great and all, but can you play rhythm? Can you play in the groove? And I love this quote I'm pulling here. It says, I believe that song interpretation is what a player should focus on because there are a million shredders out there. The big question is, Do you want to work or do you want to show everyone how fast you are? I mean, that's the end of the quote there. It all comes down to, if you can sit there and play a mile, a million miles a minute, just shredding really fast. But when you're done doing that, can you play guitar with a drummer and hold down a rhythm? It goes back to something I read in an article with Eddie Van Halen back when I was first learning to play guitar, and he was talking about how people look at his solos as being so cool or so dynamic and interesting and everything. He said, you know, my solos are neat and all, but I think my rhythm is the best part of my guitar playing. And it took me a little bit, and then I started listening to some of the stuff he did. It's just amazing. The rhythm parts sometimes it's tougher than the lead part. You know, focus on the rhythm and don't worry so much about shredding, you know, practicing scales and everything, it'll come. But I just loved that. Oh, and here's a really good part of this article, a really good quote. When he's talking about, when Steve's talking about, people play great when they're by themselves, but you put them with a drummer in a live band and they fall apart. Their time goes right out the window, and I'm going to paraphrase this. And if you can't play in the pocket, I don't care how flashy you are. The lesson for the month, if it doesn't groove, it sucks. And he's right. Paying attention to what's going on in the rest of the band is so important. So I think that's kind of the quotes of the month for me from Steve Lukather. It's really awesome. Also, I want to mention this is like the happy part of the month for me because I know bills are coming in and everything. That's kind of a bummer, but hey, I get a paycheck this time of month. What's really cool is that my guitar magazines all arrived today. So got some cool reading ahead from Vintage Guitar and the Guitar Player magazine. I still haven't gotten a hold of Premier Guitar. I should just go to the website. Some friends recommended that. Several people have. And I've kind of nosed around it a little bit. Haven't read a whole lot. I should probably subscribe to their paper version. So that kind of like to have the magazine in my hands. There's some things I like to check out online. And other things I like to have right in my hands. And guitar magazines are certainly one. So I wouldn't mind spending the money to get that magazine in my hands. I'd say check it out yourself. Also, I want to wrap up today's episode with something. I'd like to get some emails from you at info@theguitarpodcast.net. I was just thinking about how there are some albums that are really special that from beginning to end, they're a complete unit. I mean, sure, you could pull some songs out of there that are just like, oh, that's my favorite song or whatever. But, you know, you take that song within that album, and I'm going to use Pearl Jam's 10 as an example. There are a lot of great songs on that album, but that you could pull out of there and say, I love that. Even Flow is great. Alive is great. Black is great. I love Black. Oh, The Garden's great, too. But from beginning to end, the way the whole thing flows, it's almost telling a story. I'd like to get your feedback on what song, what albums you would say fall into that category that just, they just work perfect from beginning to end. It's like it was a work of art. It wasn't just a bunch of songs the band came up with and said, these are the best ones we have, let's put them in order and hey, here we go. I mean, you don't have to say the conceptual albums that are actually telling a story, and I'll give the obvious one away with Pink Floyd's The Wall, that is conceptual. It's a double disc, and it tells a story, and it's a classic. It's one of those. It definitely falls into this category, but it doesn't have to be. What I'm asking for doesn't have to be that kind of conceptual album. It can be just, hey, this album works. It's not where the A side is really good and the B side, so to speak, is full of filler material where it's like, okay, we can start the CD over again at about song 5 or 6. You know, we don't need to listen to 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. But it's an album where it's like, oh, yeah, next song is awesome, too. Yeah, I'm waiting for that. You know, you almost have it timed in your head when it's gonna, when that first hit's gonna come from the drum. But yeah, I'd like to get some feedback from you all about, you know, what albums fall into that for you. And again, I mentioned Pearl Jam's 10. I don't want to throw out a bunch of them that I think of like that, because it kind of ruins the concept of this. Anyway, I'm glad you tuned in. I'm going to wrap up, and I hope to hear from you with albums that you think fall into that category. And they don't, you don't have to be the best albums all time or anything. I mean, just an album that speaks to you, that really, it just works, man. It just works. So that wraps it up for today's episode of the Guitar Podcast. Please chime in with comments and questions to info@theguitarpodcast.net. I'll either reply back via email or on a future episode. This is Lorne Hunt, signing off for the Guitar Podcast.